Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. It's easier for me to take a big passage of verses and break them down, but we're going to do a little bit different today. Lord willing, I believe this is what He'd have us to do. In Matthew chapter 3, we'll begin in verses, we'll read verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I want to talk for just a little bit today about bringing in the kingdom. Bringing in the kingdom. Don't get nervous. Wait till the message is over. But I want to talk about bringing in the kingdom. And I'm not talking about the way the Southern Baptists, some of them talk about it or any of that. We'll look at this thing and just talk about that. John the Baptist says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And you have to remember, if you look around this world and you see everything that's going on, you have to remember that we try to rightly divide, and we believe, and I will put this on the board as a matter of fact, what we believe in rightly dividing, and we believe that this is rightly dividing. You have the Old Testament up to Calvary, Old Testament law. We have the death of the testator. We have a New Testament under the blood of the testator. And then we have a church age, then the tribulation, then a millennial reign. That's what we believe. I believe the Bible is clear on that. If you don't believe that or don't understand that, you have been absent for the last 8 months. So we believe that. And we're looking for this. This arrow going up would be us getting out of here. And then we expect this. Come back with the Lord at the Battle of Armageddon, and then a thousand-year reign. But what I want you to understand is, when you're looking at the world, you have to look at, if you want to see what people are doing, what motivates them, you have to look through the lens that they're looking through, and most of them are not looking through that lens at all. Most of them do not believe that. And the reason is, first of all the different Bible versions are confusing people. And second of all, most preachers and pastors anymore don't rightly divide the book, and they don't understand. They just go with what they've been taught or what traditionally they've believed. But that's what the Bible shows. That Bible shows we're getting out of here, and there's going to be a tribulation time appointed to Daniel's people, a time of Jacob's troubles, and a thousand-year reign. But the biggest part of the world, and I don't know exactly what all the different Baptists believe anymore. I know they believe some silly stuff, but the biggest part of the world thinks they're bringing in this kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. Well, in John chapter 18, let's read down through here a little bit. In John chapter number 18, beginning in verse 33, Jesus is in front of Pilate, before Pilate. "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So what he's saying here is, my kingdom is not of this world. See, the folks, the majority of the folks out there, the religious folks, believe they're bringing in this kingdom and things are going to get it so good that Jesus Christ is going to want to come back and rule and reign. I know we've touched on this and talked about this, but I want to kind of plug in worldly context to that thought process, even though that thought process is wrong, because that's what's happening. People are trying to build a kingdom. There are a lot of kingdom builders out there. Now, I understand there's a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God, and when you call somebody to Jesus Christ and they accept Christ their Lord and Savior, that's adding to that spiritual kingdom. I understand that. No problem with that at all. But this kingdom that's being built is not the kingdom for Jesus Christ. Who brought the kingdom to start with? The kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ. He brought it to the earth and offered it to the Jews. Who's going to bring it back? Jesus Christ. It's not going to be the Pope. It's not going to be any Baptist preacher. It ain't going to be Franklin Graham. It ain't going to be that con guy. It's not going to be any church system. It's not going to be the Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, the Western Baptist, the Eastern Baptist, the Northeast Western Baptist, or any of the Baptist group, or the Lutherans, or the Catholics, or any of that stuff. They're not going to bring this kingdom in that Jesus Christ is going to look at and say, oh man, I just have to go back and sit on that throne. Everything's so great. But that's what they're trying to do. And that's a dangerous thing. If you look around at what's happening now, let's put something into context, looking at it through the lens of building a kingdom for Jesus to come back to, which we know is not really happening. But if they're looking through that lens, and you think about what's happening, how the devil uses things to get a kingdom. Now in Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, we're looking at Daniel's 70 weeks, says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That's halfway through the tribulation at 7 years. That's the beginning of the tribulation at 7 years. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. There's Jesus Christ. And the people of the prince that shall come, little p prince, that's the Antichrist, that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. He's talking about judgment. Now I want you to very carefully look at this verse again, these two verses again with me. And the reason is, it's not just the Lutherans, the Catholics, the Methodists, the different denominations out there that are leaving the truth. A lot of Bible-believing Baptists, or quote-unquote Bible-believing Baptists, are leaving the truth. And here's the deal. This is what I believe, and I believe that if you looked at it through a close lens, and you would believe the same thing, that sometimes Bible believers have a tendency to adopt their own pope. And they get a leader, and the leader believes a certain thing, and then another leader comes along and believes something else, and they're fine to believe whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. Free country, amen. But to say that half the tribulation time is already gone makes no sense. To say that first 3.5 years is already gone doesn't make sense for several reasons. And the way that that is being taught by some is verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Okay, there's the crucifixion, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. But they say that that Messiah there is the one that confirmed the covenant. In verse 27, look what it says. In verse 27 it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now when it says he, you have to look at the antecedent. Who's the one he was talking about right before that? The prince, little p, that shall come after the prince, the Messiah that's cut off. That's the Antichrist. So the Antichrist is the last one mentioned before it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many. So it's talking about the Antichrist. If it wasn't talking about the Antichrist, it would go back to the Messiah. It does not go back to the Messiah. It says the Antichrist will confirm this covenant. So they say, well, the covenant has to be confirmed, so that means Jesus set the covenant the first time, and he's going to come back and confirm it. No, the Antichrist is what the Bible says. He's going to confirm that. And the danger of that is, if somebody misses the rapture and they've heard that teaching, they're going to accept the Antichrist as Jesus Christ. When the truth is, we're leaving with Jesus Christ, and the Antichrist is going to have this place. spiritually speaking, now think about it, in the Garden of Eden, there was a physical kingdom that Adam was put in charge over, and he lost that kingdom. And now there's a physical and a spiritual kingdom that are being talked about in the Bible, and that physical kingdom is the kingdom of heaven that God Himself will reign on the throne of David. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will reign on the throne of David on this earth. But see, since most of the world does not believe that, and most of the world will make up things and call you names because just like they say, well, the liberal side, they abuse people's character and everything else because they don't have an argument. They'll do the same thing with this because when you open the Bible, they don't have an argument. That's what the Bible says. That's what it shows. That's what I believe it teaches. I believe we can show that beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's a literal physical kingdom the Lord Jesus Christ brings back, and He sits on the throne of David on a physical throne for 1,000 years of time on this earth. It's crystal clear if you study the book. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. Now you've got to remember the reason, we've talked about the reasons I believe, not just those two verses in Daniel 9, but I believe there's a 7-year tribulation coming, is because Moses and Elijah have a 3.5-year ministry, and then they are killed, lay in the street for 3 days, God resurrects them and takes them out of here, and it looks like a private rapture where Moses and Elijah leave in front of everybody. But see, the thing is, the Antichrist is the only one that can kill him. He doesn't show up as the full-blown Antichrist till halfway through. So I believe they're witnessing for 3.5 years, and the Antichrist is killed, raises again, and he kills the... Wouldn't that be the icing on the cake for the world? They go, look, this... They wonder after the beast because he was killed and rose up. And then he says, yeah, watch this. Those people you couldn't get rid of, and he gets rid of them. And then God says, yeah, watch this, and raises them up and raptures them out. And another reason I believe that is because when Moses and Elijah are killed by the beast, he's the only one that can kill them, people are giving each other presents and celebrating. Now, if that's in the middle of the end or the end of the last 3.5 years, hell on earth is breaking loose. Ain't nobody going to be partying over anything for that 3.5 years. So it makes no sense to me that Moses and Elijah's ministry would be anywhere but the first 3.5 years. So that's what I believe, and everybody's free to believe what they want to believe, but I'm not going to quit believing what the Bible says because somebody else has come up. Hey, much learning doth make some people mad. Sometimes we get so much Bible knowledge and we're so hungry and so proud that we've got to make up other things that we see as new. You've got to be aware of these new things. The 7-year tribulation is what people believe for hundreds of years. And unless you can show me in the Bible where all these things that said there's a 7-year tribulation coming are wrong, which I don't think is going to happen, I'm sticking with the 7. But I'm also sticking with Jesus Christ bringing back that kingdom. But the kingdom this world is looking for, I'm telling you, Donald Trump's being used, Netanyahu's being used, the Saudi prince is being used, all these people, the Iranian guard, Ayatollah Khomeini, they're being used. And they're all being used to set up a kingdom. But it's not the kingdom of Jesus Christ. They're setting up a kingdom of the Antichrist. If you think about what Trump says, and I'm not against him. Unless the guy, starts waving the flag of many colors, I'll vote for him. I'm not against him. But look what God is allowing the devil to do and use these people. He got Jerusalem back on the map as the capital and the embassy. That has to happen for the Antichrist to get his kingdom. It doesn't happen for Jesus Christ. He can just come back and take it. But it has to be set up for the Antichrist. Netanyahu, by the way, the prime minister. Is that right? Prime minister Netanyahu? That's not even a Jewish term. Right? That's an English term. And he's been influenced by all these outside forces. But what is he saying? They had the Abraham Accord, and they were praising Trump for bringing in the Abraham Accord. Before, Trump wasn't even all the way involved in probably some of it, but America was involved in some of it, I'm sure. The Catholics and the Muslims and the Jews all getting the Abrahamic Fathers' House. All that stuff coming together, and the Jews are for it. You've got people all around the world singing praises to Netanyahu because he's wiping out the head of the snake. And you know what I believe is going to happen? I believe God is going to bless Israel and let them wipe out. I think they're going to wipe all of the leadership of Iran out. I think they do. I think they will. And it's not hard for them to do. God just give them extra wisdom that the other world, that part of the world doesn't have. I mean, they can get all the missiles they want, the missile defense systems they want, and all the nukes they want around the world. God still wins. Amen? But the thing with this kingdom is that they're building a kingdom. And look, please don't misunderstand me. Doing good things for other people is a good testimony for Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with the kingdom on this earth. It has to do with the spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. So sending money down to the churches we listed or Samaritan's Purse or something that you can trust to help people out, praise the Lord. But there are people that do that as their religion. We're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you never send a nickel to anybody, if you sit on every dime you have till you hatch chickens out of it, you're still going to heaven. You just aren't right with God. Amen? But the thing is, most of the world does that stuff because they're bringing in a kingdom. They're bringing in a kingdom. There's a kingdom coming. You know what Netanyahu said the other day? He said, he said it several times, but the other day he said that they're going to win this war, and he's talking directly to the people of Iran, directly to the people of Lebanon, directly to the people all over the world, telling them, hey, we're on your side, and all these younger people that are religious and lost, Muslims, whatever, you list the list. There's people all over the world that just want peace. You know why? We're in Laodicea. They want peace. It's all about their flesh. And they want out from under the oppression of the regimes that are over them, Hezbollah and Hamas. Well, Hamas, I think that's pretty much a unified thing in Gaza. The Palestinians are there, pretty much the majority of them are Hamas. But you get over to Iran, you got a bunch of people, they just want out from underneath the Iranian regime. Netanyahu's on there saying, we're gonna get this, we're going to bring this peace in, we're all going to sing Kumbaya, we're all going to get along, and we're really close. Saudi Arabia wants peace with us. I'm telling you, the kingdom's lining up, but it's not the kingdom they think it's going to be. Don't be confused about this. Their motives are to bring in a kingdom of peace and safety. Now, I understand, think about the United Nations. Do you realize that I don't know if they've done it yet, but they were talking about the United Nations, the head of the United Nations having a seven-year term? A seven-year term would match up great with the seven-year tribulation, wouldn't it? I guarantee you the Pope's going to have something to do with putting somebody in that seat. In 7 years, the Antichrist is going to bring peace. And you know right now, they've got the Old Testament, beat your swords into plowshares and all that stuff, this peace. And they're always talking about peace and security. That book says peace and safety, right? Mark my word, you'll see it from heaven probably, but you mark my word, mark God's word, there's going to be a man stands up there, and he's going to talk about peace and safety for Israel. He won't say security. He's going to say safety. You know why? Because they want to be safe. He's going to talk about peace and safety. And Israel, a lot of Israel, bow down and worship that man, and the world will. Man of sin. He's going to come in there and he's going to say peace and safety. And I believe the Lord is allowing, and the devil is causing, and all this stuff's happening, and all these really radical leaders are being taken out, and then they're going to feel like, oh, we can just all live together. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They can't get rid of Ishmael, and Ishmael's always going to try to get rid of Israel. But they're going to have this semblance of peace for 3.5 years. That's the kingdom they're bringing in. It's the kingdom of the Antichrist. And I say that to say this. You can look around and see the pieces falling in. I say falling into place, but landing in place, if you will. Everywhere. And it gives me chills when I hear a leader say something like, the great religion of Islam and the great Judean religion and the great Christian religion and the great Hindu religion and the great on down the line religion. You see, the Bible says that God is the Spirit. If you're going to worship Him, you have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. They got the wrong spirit and no truth. I understand Israel's God's chosen people, the apple of His eye and all that. But listen to their words and watch their actions. What are they looking for? Peace and safety. Somebody's going to bring that for 3.5 years, a semblance of it, and they'll accept him. They'll accept him. I don't want to come across as proud, arrogant, self-righteous, or we're the only ones that are right, but I'm telling you, this world is being deceived in a manner, at a rate that only God and the devil can even imagine. It's just crazy. And don't just assume everybody's saved. Don't just assume that. Like I said in Sunday school, I talked to a guy yesterday, and I, you know, talked to him for a while, gave him a tract. I said, "I believe the Bible." He said, "I do too. I'm a Christian." And I said, "Oh yeah?" And he goes, "Yep, I've been baptized." I said, "Baptism doesn't save you." Now look, I don't believe that everybody says that is lost. I think some people just get confused. But I do believe this. Out of the hundreds of people I've heard say that, they're not all saved. And they say the same thing. Some of them actually think their baptism is what saved them. Amen? And you know what they say? "I'm a Christian, and I'm saved." You know where they'll go if they die and leave this world before they actually get saved? If they're not, they go to hell. I mean, hell will be full of professing saved Christians that never really trusted Jesus Christ. I don't know how many times I've said, "Hey, it's not baptism, it's the blood of Jesus." "Oh yeah, that too." "That too? That means you have to call on Christ and get in the water?" No. It's all Him. And I say that because religion is deceitful. Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He didn't say you shall know religion, and religion will make you free. Religion's full of falsities. Religion's a dangerous thing. He preached more against the religious folks and about hell than he did against the sinners. The other sinners, the open sinners, the obvious sinners, amen? The drunkards, the whoremongers, the tax collectors, all that stuff. He preached more against against hell and against the religious crowd than he did about anything else. But this worldly religion is what we've got going on all over the world. So when you're hearing these things, wouldn't it be great if the Lord just brought His kingdom back right now and everything was just regenerated? But we know that's not going to happen for at least 7 years. If He takes us right now, we've got 7 years before we come back with Him. And you know, I know you kind of have a tendency to get excited when people start talking about peace, and right? Because wouldn't it be great if the whole world just quit firing missiles at each other and just trusted Jesus Christ and got saved? Wouldn't that be great? That'd be great. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. We got a tribulation time coming up for the Jews, and we're getting out of here. But this worldly religion, it's that Babylonian whore that's taken over everything. It's infiltrating all the different belief systems. And it's just, the Babylonian worship was not just one narrow thing. It's all these broad different beliefs and these different worship things. And there's a little bit in every religion now. Every religion's got a little bit of this Babylonian baloney. And it's just this whore of Babylon, this Babylonian whoredom is taking over the world because there's kingdom coming, but it's not the kingdom for Jesus Christ yet. Man's not bringing that kingdom. Jesus Christ is bringing that kingdom. But Proverbs talks about the strange woman. The strange woman. You know what they're on? The strange woman, her heart is full of pride. Her head is full of perversion. And her lips are full of poison. It warns about the strange woman and her flattering words. Flattering words. "Oh, you just be the best you can be. Oh, we'll just get together and sing Kumbaya. You can be part of the answer instead of part of the problem. It's about you. Oh, if you want to be a whatever and you are supposed to biologically be a whatever, you want to be a billy goat, a tree, or change genders or whatever, it's about you. You're great and God loves." Flattering words. Amen? Flattering words land people in hell. But see, her heart is full of pride. Her head is full of perversion. Her lips are full of poison. These flattering words, her path leads to destruction. Read it in Proverbs. It's talking about, you can apply that to a literal woman that's taken somebody in the wrong direction. You can apply that more readily to religion, which is taking people in the wrong direction. So all these people that are bringing in this kingdom and kingdom builders and send your money in to build the kingdom and we'll send you a prayer cloth, or we'll send you a used Kleenex, or whatever. You just send us your money, amen. And we'll bless some water and send you a tube of that. You know, probably got that out of the toilet or something. I don't know. We'll send you that water for $85. For absolutely no charge, you send us $85, we'll send you an ink pen with the NIV, John 3:16 verse on it. Amen. We'll send you that ink pen, and you can... What are you going to do with that stuff? You got to look at it and say, wow, that Bible's right. There's a kingdom coming. We're getting out of here. You see, that religion belongs to most of religion. If you talk about, look about around, look at it around the world, belongs to the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. And he's more subtle than any beast of the field. And he comes in and he talks about caring and sharing and love. And he says, if we just care for each other and share with each other and love each other, and by the way, quote unquote, love is love. No, it's not. Those dangerous words that religion is belching out there are entrapping people. They're binding people in their sin, and they just found a place where they can try to be comfortable. And Jesus Christ is the one that said it, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They'll never be free. They'll never have those bondage chains broken until they call on Jesus Christ and trust Him from the heart as Lord and Savior, trust His death, burial, and resurrection, accept that blood atonement on their account. They'll never have that peace they want. They'll never have the safety they want. But there's going to be one that stands up, and he's going to say peace and safety, and they're going to go, there's our kingdom. And 3.5 years later, it's hell on earth breaks loose. And I'm not saying we're better than anybody. I'm saying we've got a book that's better than everybody, and we've got a Savior that is the best. Nobody like Jesus. Amen. So when you're looking around the world and seeing all this stuff, what ought to excite you is, hey, we're going to leave before that kingdom of the devil gets here. Amen. We're getting out of here. You know, they talked to the exiled prince of Iran the other day. You know what he was talking about? Just want to get together and love one another. All they got to do is wipe out the Khomeini and the National Guard people over there and get that guy back in office. Right? You got Netanyahu, and you got Trump, and you got the Saudi prince, and you got the Iranian prince, and they're all getting together. Kind of funny to say the prince, little p. Wouldn't that be something? If the Saudi prince, finally 30 years old or so, he gets up, and he's got a Jewish bloodline. We didn't know it. So he proves his Jewish bloodline. He stands up at the UN and says, peace and safety. And everybody says, thank God, finally. Oh, and then the worship service starts, amen. On into the tribulation time. Oh, they're building a kingdom. They've been deceived. They've been deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, sowing and reaping is still a Bible principle. And all these things, all these unjust and wicked things that are going on around the world, and in the midst of the unjust wickedness, they're claiming to be bringing in a kingdom of peace. You know why? Because their minds are full of perversion. They have created their own God. They just threw it in the fire, and it come out, right? No. Do you know the one that, remember the one that told them, this is your God, was a priest? Aaron? This is the one that delivered you out of Egypt. You know what he's going to tell the Jews? Somebody's going to point, this false prophet, somebody's going to point to the man that's standing probably at the UN for his 7-year term and say, he says peace and safety, and they say, this is the man that delivered you out of Egypt, Israel. This is the God. Amen. I mean, it's coming together. Hollywood has nothing on that Bible. It's coming together. So there's a kingdom coming. Soon. But I wanted to talk about that because I don't want to get into politics and all that stuff, whatever. And who knows what the Lord wants. Maybe the Lord wants the one you don't want in office. His will be done. Amen. But if he's going to leave us here, I'm praying that we get somebody in here to glorify him directly. Now, he's going to use anybody that gets in here to glorify him some way. But I hope it's somebody that will directly stand up here and say, the Lord Jesus Christ in the King James Bible, you got to get right with God. I'd love to hear that. Then we can go, amen. But I'm saying the world is bringing in a kingdom. How many of y'all, when this is the first time when you come to this church, that you actually heard any biblical proof that this is true about this timeline? You hear about these things, you hear about the millennial reign, you hear about these things, you hear about maybe there is a millennial reign, but anybody, probably been to a lot of churches and different beliefs and never had anybody say, this is what the Bible says and show you Bible verses on it. What I'm saying is, that's happening all over the world and they're telling people they're bringing in this kingdom. Jesus Christ brought the kingdom to the Jews. They rejected it. He tells Pilate he's getting ready to be crucified, and he knows it because that's why he came anyway. If they'd accept him, he'd took the kingship. But he tells Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. You know why? Because he offered it and the world rejected it. You see, he offered it. Take it. Take this peaceful kingdom, and they rejected it. When they accept the kingdom of the Antichrist, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and take the kingdom by force. Make sure you're on his side. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when you look around, you see all these things must come to pass. And I really don't believe we'll even probably see the Antichrist. We might have some ideas who it might be, but I think we're going to leave. And I think the Jews will know who it is. I think that's the one he's going to expose it to. I mean, if we had to pick right now, we'd have a long list of possibilities. Amen. And that's before you leave the Congress and Senate. But you know what's wrong with those folks up there? They've got a heart full of pride. They've got heads full of perversion. And they've got lips full of poison. And they're running, trying to run the world in wickedness. And all the time proclaiming peace and safety is on the way. We're leaving soon. I want to ask you one question before we wrap this up. Looking and seeing, and I'm not dating the rapture, I'm not saying it's going to be this year or next year or whatever, but looking at the pieces fall into place or being put in place, if you will, what about the people you know that are lost and on their way to hell? What if we left tomorrow and there's somebody that you live within 5 minutes of, that you're friends with, that you care about, that maybe you never gave a track to? I'm telling you this, it's, oh, the tribulation's coming. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't have picked that because I'm on Jesus' side. I want everybody to get saved. But God knows what's going to happen, and he set it up, and he doesn't do anything wrong. But when the church leaves, it's game on for the devil. So what if he decides to not come back for 2 or 3 years? Okay, well, praise the Lord, we'll just pray every day and hope to stay right with God for 2 or 3 years and get out of here. But what if he come back next Wednesday? I mean, there are people that are going to die and burn in hell because they've been deceived by the devil and religion. And you and I have the truth. You and I have the truth. You don't have to. There's a time to be stern and maybe a little abrasive, but you don't have to always do that. Have you ever sat down with somebody you really care about and say, you know, look, I love you, and I've been praying for you, and I just worry about you. I'm going to give you this to read about the grace of God. Would you look at this and just make sure you're right with God? I'm not judging your religion or any of that. I'm asking you if you've seen what the book says, what Jesus Christ, what the Word of God says about how to get to heaven, and you're sure about it. Because I love you, and I don't want anything bad to ever happen. Might be running out of time to do things like this. Be running out of that time. We might be closer to the end than we could even imagine for the church age. You know, another thing, another dangerous thing that the world believes is the end of the world's coming. It's the end of the world. You believe in? They think Armageddon's it. It's over. There's nothing else after that. But the end of the world's coming. It's here. You know what they think? A lot of people think that, well, when the earth ends, it's just going to be over. Or they're going to get surprised when the church is raptured out, the tribulation starts, the battle of Armageddon comes, there's a 1,000-year reign where they need to go to worship Jesus Christ in person. They're going to be surprised, right? I'd rather they were surprised at the timing of the rapture when they went. Amen? Pray about it. Pray for God to open the door. Get you a handful of tracts. Forget, I mean, I'm not saying forget about the strangers, but there's probably somebody in your life, a relative, a neighbor, co-worker, ex-co-worker that you really, really care about. You've never taken the time to say, hey, look, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm worried about your soul. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm show you what the Word of God judges people. Look at this and make sure you're right with God. Amen? Because we're running out of time. I'd hate to be at the judgment seat of Christ and him say, well, he won't hesitate, though. That's just a hillbilly in me doing that. But he won't hesitate. He'll just say, well, here's what you have, and here's what you could have had. But you picked door number 3, right? And I believe there's a real good chance we'll be at the white throne judgment watching people be judged. And I'm sure there'll be somebody that every one of us failed to witness to that should have. What I'm saying is, keep a list short. Try to cut it down to nothing before the Lord calls us out of here. Because this world is bringing in a kingdom. And it's coming quickly. It could be any time when that man steps up and says peace and safety. And the tribulation starts. Are you ready? I'm not talking about just being ready to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. I hope everybody is. But are you ready to meet the Lord? Say, you know, Lord, maybe I messed up a lot. The last couple months that you gave me, I tried to do right. Mitigate your liability. It's a legal term for trying to stop it before it gets any worse and trying to make up for lost time. Amen. But we not only have an opportunity, we have an obligation. We've been given something that doesn't belong to us. The good news, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the church age. Maybe there's somebody out there you really don't care to talk to. Maybe you're not on good terms with them. Maybe you can send them a letter and put a track in it and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Care about your soul. Please read this. Maybe send it anonymous if they won't talk to you or don't want your mail. Amen? God knows. But the kingdom's coming that the world's looking for. And it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good at all. Peace. Peace and safety. And the whole world will turn to that quote unquote little g God and accept the kingdom that he's offering when they rejected the true Christ. It's coming soon. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us rightly divide it. Lord, help us, Lord, to get right where we're wrong. Stay right, stand right where we're right. Lord, give us the strength to stand in these crazy days. And Lord, help us to end without compromise, loving you better every day. Come get us soon, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The longer we have here, the bigger chance of us messing something else up. But Lord, strengthen us and come get us soon. In Jesus' name.